Well, good morning, everyone. And maybe we could just turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll read from verse 16. So the Lord Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone to the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his own household? Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Let's just ask the Lord's help. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have to say to us. And we know that each one of us needs to hear your voice today. And so we just pray for help, Lord, as we look at this section. And may your Holy Spirit just open our hearts and help us to take these things in, Lord, but to be not just hearers, but doers of your word. So we commit this to thee and ask your blessing now in Jesus' precious name. Well, this is a difficult section. I really struggled with it, I have to admit that. But as I was looking at it, I thought of we're all familiar with misleading advertising. doesn't matter what you see out there advertised, there seems to be always something that's not told. You buy a new car and they don't tell you that it has this particular model has a weak transmission that's going to go at 120,000 K, or a new job. You hear all the positive side, but you don't hear everything. So I was thinking about that, and that's just not the way our Lord is. And he tells his disciples exactly what was going to come and what they could look forward to, really. It's a very challenging section, and we know that Matthew is the gospel of the king. We have the kingdom that was announced in the Old Testament, and that the Jews were looking to come. And we have in Matthew's gospel, we have the king coming, and we have the birth of the king, and we have the credentials of the king laid out for us. We have the principles of the king and his kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. And then we have the power of the king and his miracles that he performed. And then the Lord Jesus calls his 12 disciples, the apostles, and he sends them out. And we see they were to be his ambassadors. And we remember in the beginning of this chapter that they were called by the Lord, and then they were given power, and then they were sent out with a special commission. And so that's important to see that the sending out of the 12 on the special commission from verse 5 to 15, and to see how it changes here at verse 16, because we really need to understand what the Word of God is saying here. And this is not all that easy. I really struggled with it when I was preparing, and I had discussions with different ones. I know Jack and I had a long talk, but I think I'll try to put it out there. If you don't agree with everything I say, that's fine. That's okay. And if you can help me, I appreciate that afterwards. But I'll try to stay to the Word of God here. And so the Lord Jesus here is he sent these 12 out on this mission, and he told them to go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but not to go in the way of the Gentiles or the inner a city of the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he sent them out on a specific mission. But now in verse 16, that seems to change, because if we go down to verse 18, he says, "You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." So we see that there's something looking ahead, something future. And we know, I think, when Rob Brennan opened the introduction to the Gospel of Matthew, he pointed out that the Lord Jesus was the son of David, the son of Abraham, and that as the son of David, that was who the nation of Israel was looking for as their king, the one that would be the descendant from David that would come as their Messiah, their king. And but the son of Abraham, it says that in Abraham all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so it looks forward, and at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we have the Lord Jesus sending out these same men, but to go into all the world. And so we see that this is an expanding from just going and preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. It's going out into the, all the whole world. But he warns them about things that are coming, about what they would be faced with. And so he says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we know that sheep are helpless creatures, really. And that the Lord Jesus himself says, behold, I, and that, that I is an emphatic I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And you wonder about that. But when I thought about that, I thought, well, that's true, but he's the good shepherd. And so even though he sent them out into this hostile environment, he's the good shepherd. And we know Psalm 23, David could just rejoice in having the Lord is my shepherd. So, but he says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now that's interesting because those are two different creatures altogether. But I think another translation says be prudent as serpents, and I think it's a matter of being discerning. A snake, I don't like snakes, but I know how they can be very crafty about slithering away or being getting in a place of safety and really one time in California I was working out in the field and I went to sit down and for some reason I decided to sit in another place. I don't know what prompted it. I just decided to sit somewhere else. Anyway, when I looked back where I was going to sit down, there was a coiled up rattlesnake. And it was the same color as the ground. I didn't see it, and at the time, and I often thank the Lord for that. I didn't sit down on that thing, but they can be very crafty in the way they hide themselves, and I think that's the thought here. But not then it says, but harmless as doves, and you know it's really a thought of no guile, no deceit. So when the Lord was going to send out these men, he said, you know, you want to be wise, but not deceitful. Be straightforward. And that's the way we should be when we present the gospel of the Lord Jesus to people. We shouldn't be deceitful. We don't put ourselves in the way of harm. But on the other hand, we need to be, later on we'll see, we need to be confessing Christ before men. So then it says, but beware of men, they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues, and you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. Now we know that in the book of Acts, when we come to the book of Acts, we find this time and time again. But this section is very interesting, but I think we need to consider the whole thing together, because when we get down further down where it says, it tells about the persecutions that are coming and the brother delivering up brother to death, and you'll be hated of all by my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And then that next verse says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will have not gone to the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now, the Son of Man had come. So this is obviously pointing ahead to something else. And so, interestingly enough, we're in the book of Revelation in our Bible study on Tuesday night, and we're studying this time on this earth when there will be a great tribulation, and there will be much persecution of believers. But the amazing thing is the gospel is going out. And there are these 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are witnessing for the Lord. And so I believe that this is speaking of that time. It's a the scriptures often do that. They give you a near and a far view. And so this is looking ahead to this time. But that doesn't mean that these principles aren't for us today, because they are. But we need to understand that what this section is talking about. But it definitely took place at the beginning of the church age, when in the book of Acts. I just wanted to read one scripture from Acts chapter 4. And this really has to do with this verse that says, when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it shall be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So that's the verse that I've been thinking about this section. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't prepared, because we need to be prepared. And I think this section will show us in Acts chapter 4, and reading from verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to an helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. So it's not a matter of not being prepared. We need to spend time with the Lord and in His presence, and spend time in His Word, and be prepared. Peter talks about that, about being prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. So we need to be prepared, but in these special instances where we're called on the carpet, if you want to put it that way, the Lord's going to be with us. And it's not us, it's His Spirit that's working through us. So that's a real encouragement, I find. It's, and I think we've all experienced that sometimes when you don't know, you want to witness to someone, you really want to share the gospel with someone, and you just, sometimes you don't know how to start but if you just take that step of faith, and the Lord's right there, and you do have the words, and here again, it's the Holy Spirit that gives them that, so, but then we come to this terrible time here where we have brother delivering up brother to death, and father to child, And I believe this is really speaking of that. We know that this has happened through history, but it's going to be very much intensified at the tribulation period. And this world will be it'll be a horrible scene, really. And we've seen that in Revelation. But the wonderful news is that for those that trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior in this age of grace, that we'll be taken out of this scene before that. The Lord's going to come from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, and we'll be caught up to be forever with the Lord. So, but this time will be very intense. And we know that the Gospel of Matthew was written mainly with the Jew in mind. And so that's this section refers to that coming time. But it says this in verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. Now, that was a pagan deity, but it was closely, the Jews related it with Satan. So that was like calling the Lord Jesus Satan. How much more will they call those who are of his household? So we have these different relationships here. We have a disciple and a teacher, and a servant and a master. So if we belong to the Lord Jesus, if we're his disciples, if we're following him, we really can't expect to be treated any different than he was treated. And that's sometimes very difficult, very hard. Later on we'll see about whether we love our own life more than we love the Lord. And that's such a challenge. I had, when I read these verses, I was so challenged by it. It just, I really shouldn't be the one up here talking. It's the Lord's word, so we can go by that. But it says, but then the Lord says these wonderful words here. He says, do not fear. Do not fear. And that he says that over and over again here. Do not fear. There's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And that means that there's nothing, no sin, no rebellion against God that won't be uncovered and revealed and judged in a coming day. And so whatever goes on that's behind the scenes, that's going to be revealed in a coming day. There's nothing's hidden from our God. And then in a coming day, the Lord Jesus will reign and he will be the judge. The Bible tells us that God has appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he has appointed. And so that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not to fear. And it says, the Lord says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. So the Lord Jesus is revealing these things to his disciples, those who were his followers. And yet they were to proclaim that openly and publicly and without fear, because the Lord had told them to do that. He says, don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. We sang about that in our hymn. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And there's nothing, whatever I tell you, okay, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, this is there's two kinds of fear. I think we were looking at this the other night in our Bible study, actually, but the scripture says that the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. But this is talking about fearing God, the reverential fear of God. And he's the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And that's to be eternally separated from God. And that's a very serious thing. And so he's the one we should reverence and trust and obey. He's the one that's provided salvation for each one of us. And we need to come to him and just humbly submit to him, but with reverential fear. There's a quote, I have a quote here from a man by the name of Oliver Cromwell. He was a famous man, an Englishman, lived in the 1600s, but he was noted for his bravery. He was just a fearless man. And someone asked him once why he was such a brave man. He replied, I've learned that when you fear God, you do not have any man to fear. So that's what the Lord is saying here. Don't fear man, but to have that reverential fear for God. And then the very next verse, he tells us something that's so wonderful. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. God knows of everything that he takes account of, even a sparrow's fall. And I found this section interesting because I looked over in the book of Luke, chapter 12, and it says basically the same thing, except it changes it a little bit in verse 6 of chapter 12 of Luke. It says, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before your God. So we have in Matthew, we have two sparrows for a copper coin or a penny. So they're pretty valueless little birds. But here we have, I know they didn't have Walmart or anything back in those days, but here we have, buy five and we'll throw in an extra one for free. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But that's the value that man places on them, but God knows every one of them. And then he says this, he says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, God knows so much about us. He loves us so much. And this, you know, this the way he says this here, you know, this if you read this carefully, it says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, this isn't taking your hairs in total and numbering them. If it wouldn't be very many with me or and some of the rest of you out there. But what he says is the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Every hair is numbered. And when you think about that, you know, it says that about the stars, isn't it? God didn't just number them, he named them all. So what a God we have. I mean, here's God, and he cares about each one of us so much. And he's the one that died for each one of us. And so here we can take comfort in this, that he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, way better than we know ourselves. And he loves us. He says, do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. But then we have this very challenging portion here. It says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before man, him I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Now I was very challenged by that, because this isn't just talking about our words. This is talking about our life. And because people don't always hear us, but they do see the way we live. So confessing the Lord it definitely includes the mouth. If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. But it includes our life too. And so this is a very challenging section. And when it says, whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. I struggle with that. What's that really mean? Because we can think of many times with my life, I've denied the Lord, you know. I can have to admit that. And we think of Peter. He definitely denied the Lord. And I think that's in the Word of God for our encouragement, really. Because here was a man like Peter who denied with oaths and cursing. But the Lord forgave him, didn't he? And Peter was restored. And so when I looked at this, I see that it's a serious thing. I mean, if we habitually deny the Lord by our life and show that he doesn't mean anything to us, well, this obviously is talking about the Lord's going to deny us. So you saw it, there's a section here that says, he says, I never knew you. But it also, as believers, you know, the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. He's the one that's interceding for us at God's right hand, but he's also our advocate. He's the one that when we do sin, he points to his precious blood and said, those sins have been dealt with. And I think the Lord Jesus never, that the blood is always there. And says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But when we do, what happened to Peter? Think about what happened to Peter after he had denied the Lord. It says that he went out and wept bitterly. And I think when the Lord, and it talks about denying him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven, I don't think that necessarily means that he denies that he knows us. But now the Holy Spirit who gives us the joy in our hearts from the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit is greeted in our lives, we have that, really the holding back of that joy, don't we? Instead, we're miserable. put it flatly, we're miserable. And so I'm just suggesting that maybe that's what this could be talking about too. That as believers, when we deny the Lord, whether it's in our actions or maybe something we say, we need to confess that and get it right with the Lord. Anyway, I'll just leave that as a suggestion there. But then we come to this section here. It says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now this just if you just read that verse, it would be very hard because the Lord Jesus did bring peace, didn't he? To those of us that know him, he did bring peace. And it says that many, many scriptures that I've written one down here, Colossians 1, verse 20. You can turn to that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So the Lord Jesus came and he gave his life on the cross for each one of us. And now we can have that. If we put our faith and trust in him, recognize that we're the sinner and he's the Savior, and just simply trust him, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But this isn't necessarily talking about that. What it's talking about is that his coming into this world, and we see in Matthew's gospel how he came and he presented himself to his own people, to his own nation, and he was by and large rejected. And so the sword speaks of division. It's what divides. And there's those that trust the Savior are on one side, and those that reject the Savior are on the other side. There's no middle ground here. There's no middle ground. You can't walk a fence. You're either on the Lord's side or you're not. And so there is this division that comes in, and it comes right into families. I mean, I know people in our own assembly that are struggling with this right now because of family members. And so this is a very hard thing because we're close to our families. And when there is this division that's there, it's a very difficult thing. I can't here again, I shouldn't be the one speaking because I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were believers, and my sibling was a believer, and I have cousins and stuff that aren't, but we weren't close, so there wasn't that division. But it's when it's in a family, it can be a very hard thing. And so, but the Lord Jesus says this. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So those natural relations, as precious as they are, and as close as they are, they don't compare with that relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because he is the one that that loved us and gave himself for us. He's the one that paid for our sins in his own body on the tree. And when we recognize that, there's no one that compares. There's no one close. And so he says, and then not only our family, but now he comes even closer. This gets harder and harder because it comes right down to ourselves. He says, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So this is loving one's own life more than the Lord. That's very difficult to say, but if we do, we really rob the Lord Jesus of his rightful place in our lives. And oftentimes we're challenged with this, at least I am. Who comes first? Who has the preeminence in my life? This is a real challenge to teach one of us, but you know what? The Lord Jesus is there to, as our great high priest, as the one who carries us, as our shepherd, and we can turn to him and just tell him we're weak. We need help. And the Lord will give us that strength in this situation. And we need to see that if you find your life in this world, I mean, if you have everything in this world, it doesn't count for anything. You're going to lose it all. And I often think of Lot and Abraham. You know, Abraham, he told Lot, he says, you take what you want. And Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw that well-watered plain of Jordan, and he set his heart out there, and he went even further. He moved right into Sodom, and we know what kind of a place that was. And he put all his eggs, we could say, in that basket. And when the angels came and warned him that place was going to be destroyed, they had to drag him out. They had to drag him out, and he lost it all. He lost everything because he'd put all his life into that. Into the world, even though the Bible tells us that he was a righteous man. He was a believer. And it vexed his soul to see what was going on, but he lost it all. And Abraham, what did he lose? He didn't lose anything. God says, you look up at this heavens, you know, that's what your descendants are going to be like. You know, I mean, it was just such a picture to us of what God has for those that are faithful to him. And we just want to be encouraged to just be faithful in our walk and our life, and don't count our life as here on this earth, but like Paul told Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. So then we have this last section here. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So that's a great verse because these apostles are sent out. We're sent out. If we're received as those that bring the good tidings, the good news, and the Lord Jesus is received, but it goes that he receives him who sent me, receives the Father. He that has the Son has the Father also. And that's the beauty. 1 John tells us that. It says, I'll just read that verse. 1 John chapter 3. It's in a different context. He's talking about false teachers, but the verse very clearly spells that out. It says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So if they receive you, they'll receive me, and who receives me receives him who sent me. And then it goes down. If he receives a prophet in the name of the prophet, he'll receive a prophet's reward. And then the last one, he who receives one of these little ones, gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I'll say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. What I thought about this is that the smallest thing done for Christ will be rewarded. You know, it's some friends of ours, when you walk out their front door, they got that little plaque that says, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. But the smallest thing, you know, God not only saves us by his grace, we don't deserve that at all. You know, it's unmerited favor, God's grace that saves us. But then he wants to reward us on top of it. So that's the kind of God we have. And the smallest thing. And so that's an encouragement to each one of us to serve the Lord. Doesn't have to be anything that anybody knows about. The Lord knows. And he's going to reward it one day. So it's just an encouragement to us. Let's just close in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for your word and thank you for your love. And thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. And truly, he is the great King. And he is our Savior and our Lord. And one day we'll reign with him, the Bible tells us. And we can hardly even think about that, but what a wonderful truth that is, that we'll be united with him forever. So just encourage each one of us to walk, to be faithful to him in our daily walk, in our testimony, in our witness, and just bless those that are going through difficulties. And we know that the Christian life is not an easy life, and we just pray that you will help each one of us as we deal with those around us that don't know Christ, and even those in our own family. So just give you thanks now for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.